Your attention, please.
To all who come to this happy place, welcome.
Because this here's the wildest ride in the wilderness.
Is this haunted room actually stretching?
Remain seated, please. Permanecer sentados, por favor.
There's no turning back now.
Okie dokie.
I'm Ryan Bergara, and welcome to the saddest podcast on Earth, where three grown adults commiserate over their separation anxiety from the happiest place on Earth during quarantine. Each episode, we'll work through our sorrow by breaking down Disneyland by category and then discussing our consensus top five things in that category, as well as what we believe the singular worst thing in that category is. And today's category is restaurants. Just a couple of disclaimers up top here. First, we're only covering restaurants in the Disneyland Resort, so that's Disneyland proper and California Adventure, as well as hotels and Downtown Disney. Second, we miss Disneyland, but we're not here hoping it's going to open before it's safe to do so. We made this pod as a therapeutic device to talk about Disneyland until it can safely open. And finally, this list is once again a consensus among the three of us, formed by a point system. So we each made our own top fives, and a ranking of first is worth 5 points, a ranking of second is worth 4 points, and so on and so on and so on. And then I tallied the scores to create this aggregate ranking. As such, only I know the contents of the list, and the rankings will be revealed live to the other two. Speaking of the other two, I'm joined today by my two friends, Amanda Pham and Byron Marin, who are the only two people I know that have an unhealthy obsession with Disneyland like I do. And between the three of us, we've logged an alarming 2,000-plus visits to the park. All that being said, where are we at with this one?
Look, it was a difficult list to make. I don't think you could start making this list without knowing full well that you're going to leave, as, pardon the dad joke, you'll leave a few things on the table.
There it is. That's good.
Yeah, I'm. Because what we're basically doing, we're as long as you get to sit down at a table, I think it counts, right?
Yeah, there's no real restrictions. There was some discourse earlier about whether or not we should disqualify quick service because you don't really have a waiter. So it's not kind of, it's not exactly a restaurant, but we ended up keeping it in because we realized that would make the options very boring.
But now there are a lot of options. So
now there are a lot of options and the list is vibrant because of it.
But there's like a list for newcomers and then there's a list, my personal list. And that's kind of where I went. But if I were to like recommend things for people, I think I would steer them differently.
My criteria was just having taste buds, so that factored in heavily into
okay,
my list.
Okay, so you're going like strictly off more taste than experience.
Oh no, that but also the ambiance and the sight sounds, which is the same thing as ambiance. That's kind of
cool.
Redundant.
I'm excited.
And then maybe even entertainment that's offered with that. So. Because it's a restaurant. We didn't say top five tastiest restaurants. It was top five restaurants, and presentation is a lot for me.
Yeah.
All right. Let's start this off with number five. And for number five here, there was actually a three-way tie. They each received 4 points, so we're just going to list them off as 6-5-4, even though that's not really the order. Number six is Storyteller's Cafe. This is in the Grand Californian.
Wow, I'm so glad I got this on there.
You really did muscle it on here is how I would describe it. And
I can't imagine anyone else put this on.
This was not on my list. I imagine it was not on Amanda's either. So that means it was very high on your list, Byron. Where was this?
It was number two on my list.
See, that's...
Wow.
It's just a bad call.
Wait, is it because you get to meet, like, buddies there? Like
it's
Mickey
not so
and
much
stuff?
That. I'm always just in a really, really... I think I'm just biased that like I'm always in an insanely good mood because usually when I'm getting breakfast there, I'm usually specifically thinking of the breakfast buffet. Some of the best French toast. You know you just went on a few rides in the park. You got that magic hour in. And you just timed it perfectly. And you're always at Storyteller's Cafe on a very good Sunday morning.
Yeah. I mean, is this one of the best restaurants in the park? Absolutely not. But is it also not even the best character dining restaurant in the resort? It is also not that. The fact that Byron has this here is kind of confounding to me. I will say the breakfast is pretty good. The buffet is all right. I do like the characters being around out in the daylight, but it just has nothing on its bigger brother, which we will talk about later.
I think I know what you're talking about.
This is a delightful place, though. It's a great place for brunch for your kids. Storytellers.
Okay, yeah.
That was a good tidbit for hotel guests.
Well, let's move on to number five, then. Number five, it's right down the hall at the Disneyland Resort, or the Disneyland Hotel, rather. Goofy's Kitchen.
Yeah.
Okay. Now, this is the superior character dining restaurant.
Goofy's Kitchen's, I think, for younger. And I know we don't care, and we do anyways. So that's why I put story. This is actually going to be my dishonorable. Or not dishonorable, my honorable. Because I was considering putting this on the list.
I did have storytellers, I think at like 8 or 9 on my list. So it was in the top 10.
Okay.
Goofy's Kitchen. Does anyone else have anything to say about this? Because if not, I'm just gonna roll with it here.
Don't you guys have like a story or something? That's like honestly why it's on here.
No, it's not why it's on here. I have plenty to say about Goofy's Kitchen. I'm just giving the proper round table that it needs, and the table's round and it's moving towards Byron right now. So I'll wait my turn, but I have a lot to say.
I spent multiple birthdays.
Yes, this is why this is particularly
Goofy's Kitchen.
Confusing to me because Byron, and not young. Bright-eyed, bushy-tailed Byron at 10 years old. Byron, a year or two ago, held his birthday party.
Yeah.
At Goofy's Kitchen.
I did.
And I gotta say...
It really split a crowd.
It really did split a crowd. I thought it was hilarious. I just thought it'd be very funny if we were under the influence of something and went to Goofy's Kitchen.
We're quite elevated.
We were quite elevated.
And the cast members knew. So we got put in this place called the Blueberry Room. It was kind of our own little private area of the restaurant. Just so we wouldn't like ruin some poor family's vacation. Confuse some children. We like destroyed this kiddie buffet. And rightfully so, you know, like a few of my friends who like were not coming for the Disney parks or that kind of thing, or weren't staying at the hotel like we were. They kind of just came to celebrate my birthday and be good friends. And I didn't tell them where we were eating. I just told them to meet at Downtown Disney. And I brought these people out driving like half an hour, paying $60 for like chicken nuggets at Goofy's Kitchen.
Yeah, because it's a hefty tab there. It's $50 a head, I believe, right?
But, I mean, for us, it was an absolute blast.
Oh, maybe one of the top five restaurant experiences I've ever had. First off, I've never been in there in an elevated state.
Let's just say there's a lot of Trader Sam's going on that day.
For those who don't know, the Goofy's Kitchen, like I'm talking about the Facebook, Goofy's Kitchen has this thing where at some point in the night, I don't know when it's triggered, but all of a sudden, the place turns into like a mini dance club.
Oh,
and then
that's cute.
And then all the characters get in like a conga line, and they start dancing around the restaurant.
Sick.
It's hilarious, and for whatever reason, I had forgotten that is a thing there because it had been so long since I've been to Goofy's Kitchen. And in that state, I just remember cackling, like laughing so obnoxiously loud. At these characters dancing around. I took a very funny video of Chip from Chip and Dale at Goofy's Kitchen that night. It's on my Instagram. It's horrifying. I recommend you watch it.
The photo package, I think.
We did the photo package.
I have some of them like printed out like that you could like magnet on your
wall
if you ever want to.
I might, because it's a very
funny
picture.
See the look on our faces again. It's pretty good.
Yeah, I mean, we're next to the Mr. Goof. We're next to the Goofster. And I was just happy to be alive at that moment. It was just such a great moment. But other than that, that one night definitely may factor into this. But also, Goofy's Kitchen is where I had so many fun memories as a kid. Like, back in the day, there wasn't more than one character dining restaurant outside the park, that is. So, like, Goofy's Kitchen was, like, the place to go to.
That was the one. So
many damn fun memories of eating like chicken nuggets and then having characters dance around. It was just like almost too much, but it was enough for me to stick in my brain, obviously. So it's a great place. But speaking of being a kid, the reason why this was so high on my list, it was at number two. I put Goofy's Kitchen at two.
To be fair, I put Storyteller's Cafe at two.
That's crazy.
Wait, but is the you didn't say anything about like the food?
No, I was just about to get into that. So, speaking of being a kid, this is the one place where you could go to a buffet as an adult. And every food that was like the amazing food you were after as a little kid is now offered in buffet style. So you got like your corn dogs, you got your chicken
grilled
fingers,
cheese,
your Mickey waffles, your Mickey McNuggets. They had these delicious like PB&J pizzas that were like, they're just so beautifully warm and the bread is so delicious. I must have put down at least 10 of those that night. And, you know, you could just really kind of just cash in on all the nostalgia while eating all of these very nostalgic foods.
You really got to be a kid at heart.
Essentially, it's where you turn into a 12-year-old. And that night at Byron's birthday party, not only did we eat like a 12-year-old, but our mindset was probably of that of a 12-year-old at that time. And it was
But you definitely pay like an adult.
We definitely paid
like
an adult.
It's like a $60 buffet for those kids.
It was very expensive peanut butter.
Worth it, absolutely.
It was great. I mean, where else are you going to shove down a chicken finger while having Goofy do the Macarena in front of you? Like, that's not a lot of places on Earth that could offer you that experience. Right? I don't know. I feel like that's a good point. Anyways, let's move to number four here. This one, I gave Byron flack for his. This is also another case of somebody muscling something onto the list. This was number two on this person's list. It's number four for the consensus. It's Pacific Wharf.
Pacific Wharf.
The club chowder's so good.
Pacific now let's Wharf? Toss it on over to Amanda here for Pacific Wharf.
Okay.
Everyone's favorite restaurant between Cars Land and Pixar Pier.
No, the clam chowder is awesome. And I love that clam chowder from Royal Street. What is that?
You mean the clam chowder you could get in a different part?
No, that's what I was saying. It's based on that one, but I don't like the line. No, I have an explanation.
Oh,
I don't like
God.
The line situation.
Is it actually called Pacific Wharf?
I believe so.
Isn't that just the territory?
At one point,
like
it was
Boudin.
Called Boudin. It was like the Boudin place, but now I believe it is called Pacific Wharf.
No, I have a reasoning for this. I was going to put that place near Pirates.
Yeah.
But then I was like, oh, I don't like that line situation. And they don't have enough tables. So I'm saying from a aesthetic point of view and like just like easier to dine in point of view, I think Pacific Wharf has the clam chowder that I want from Pirates.
Here's the thing.
That
though.
Is where I like to get that bread bowl.
Yeah, you choose one or the other because one is easier to sit down at and enjoy your meal. And then one, you have to like, I remember walking before Pacific Wharf existed, like walking my clam chowder all the way to like near Haunted just to sit down.
What the
next, like, no. Just to sit down and eat my food.
It's one of my favorite. It is a good winter spot.
Yeah.
And I think there's like a period of time where they did like a bread bowl, like it was like clam chowder with like bacon and cheese or something like that. It was
chili.
Ridiculously good.
They do a chili.
I didn't consider the fact that this is just the best place to get that clam chowder. And that's actually pretty solid logic if this was a top five foods list. But it's top five restaurants.
No,
Amanda.
Restaurant matters.
And it seems like you have like,
what?
You're like, I really like the clam chowder. It doesn't even matter what the restaurant
that's
is,
true.
Even though
you
we're talking about.
And, well, I mean, it's a cool
it's,
cool.
It's all just casing for my clam chowder.
Yeah, you're right.
you just listed something number two just because you liked it as a food in the restaurants list. A thing that you could get from multiple places across the park, mm-hmm. across both parks. a real head scratcher is.
Wait, isn't it okay?
When you put it that way.
Because don't you like places for the food?
Yeah, when they have many foods or the ambiance or the way it looks. But if it's just a food,
Pacific
one food.
Pacific Wharf isn't ugly. Is
it's
it
a
ugly?
Cool area.
But the fact that you could have picked any of the restaurants that had this and listed it as that is ridiculous.
Well, it's because of clam chowder, yeah.
And you listed
right.
like
nothing. No,
you,
it is because of
and clam there was chowder. Nothing in your explanation like, oh, Pacific Wharf, it's beautifully dressed. I like the ambiance. There's fun music nearby. All you said was like, yeah, it's the best place to stand in line for that clam chowder, so it's got to be number two for me.
Yeah, exactly.
Hey, you know what? If she didn't put number two, we wouldn't have acknowledged it tonight.
Because it doesn't. It's serving one thing that's available everywhere.
That's true. Sorry. Yeah.
I think I covered it. I think it's a great place to go for the winter.
It is.
Yeah.
And there's a fun beer cart near it, too. Really good. Good beer cart.
Outdoor atmosphere is kind of nice, like you're on a wharf.
There's a cart there that serves beers, too. It's right outside of it.
But yeah, I don't usually consider it like restaurant, but yeah, it is, technically.
That cart serves so many beers. There's a beer cart right outside of it.
You said that like 5 times.
Just wanted to see how many times I could say it before you guys were like, yeah, do we get it? There's a beer cart.
That's a good date spot, actually.
The beer cart?
No. The whole area. But yeah, you get your beer from the cart.
Yeah.
But then, yeah.
It's just fun to drink beer out of a cart, you know? Just a good time to be alive. You're getting your beer from a cart. It's pretty fun. I think it's fun. You know, you would think there'd be like big old kegs or something attached to the cart. It doesn't look, I don't even know where they're hiding the kegs in that thing. It's pretty magical. You know?
This is not Pacific War. Or it's not the...
Oh, no, this has nothing to do with Pacific War. It's not the same thing.
No, it's right by it.
That's
the thing, is the whole area, because they have the Chinese restaurant, they have the Mexican restaurant.
Yeah, that's like a food court, I would say.
Number two on the list was part of a food court.
Yeah, she basically put number two as Sbarro's.
No, but now I feel...
But this is the best place to get the Sbarro's.
Wait, that's true.
Are we at number three?
Oh, this is number two? Three. Yeah, this is number three now. This is also another muscle job. Courtesy of one Byron Marin. This is Carthay Circle.
Oh, fuck yeah. Really? You guys didn't have that on your list?
Nah.
Oh, my God. Carthay Circle's awesome.
I didn't realize we were making the list for Mr. Moneybags over there.
That's okay, so that's why I didn't put it on my list.
What?
It's that's why. Okay.
I thought we were ranking the best restaurants.
It actually was number six on my list, so I can't even front. Very good. It's a very good restaurant.
Yeah, it's delicious.
Carthay's awesome. I have really good memories in the lounge.
The lounge is
I loved the lounge when it opened.
Yeah,
I was
obsessed. Good. It's a great place. Having a nice little beverage by that trolley.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, fantastic.
And you can actually order food down there. Or you used to.
They have like small plates, I think.
But the table service restaurant, I believe it's actually called the Carthay Circle Restaurant.
Mm-hmm.
And the lounge is, I think, called the Carthay Circle Lounge. They didn't really... I guess I want to expand on that. But anyways, the restaurant is very good.
Mm-hmm.
I love the theming of it.
It's clean. It just doesn't feel very Disney to me is what it is.
How
what
does
it
not feel very Disney?
Because it's so dead
it's
inside.
Like
it's
based
so,
off the theater that he premiered Snow White.
Yeah, but it's just so like generic and it's so generically nice looking to me. It looks like a generic nice restaurant. Like if I was like...
Yeah.
Needs a little more pixie dust for you, Ryan.
If I were to fire up like nice restaurant on Google Images... It would just probably show me pictures of the inside of
it's cool if
Carthay
you're
Circle.
In the 1920s. I don't know.
I don't feel anything from the 1920s in there, though. I don't know. It's just it's also not the reason why I had it at six. I probably would have it higher if there wasn't another restaurant that existed in the same price range. So it was almost like I had the battle of fine dining.
It's a rare. That's the thing. Carthay Circle's a rare thing because it is very expensive.
Yes.
And I'm a big fan of their duck wings, so that's the
thing. The duck wings are very good. I won't lie.
From an ambiance perspective, though, I think the other fine dining is just more memorable because it's, like, outside of what you're eating. It's, like, a memorable,
It's
like,
always a special occasion, usually, if I'm eating at Carthay Circle.
Yeah. It just feels like another... Like, I probably visually right now don't remember what the decoration is.
Number two here is the Blue Bayou. Now, as we were just saying... Carthay Circle, inferior to Blue Bayou when it comes to price range. That's just the damn truth there. I don't know what else to say about that.
Wait, you're saying Blue Bayou is cheaper?
No, I'm saying Blue Bayou is just better than Carthay Circle.
I try, but I can't get there.
How could you not get there?
Ambiance, I mean, the ambiance shit's like, that's like the best ambiance you could get.
But the quality of the food served at Blue Bayou is comparable to Carthay.
I still think Carthay is so much better.
But you don't get Pirates of the Caribbean in the background. This is the
top. No. I love the ambience. I mean, like, I had Blue Bayou probably pretty high on this list.
You had it number three.
Yeah.
Yeah. We all had it number three, by the way.
Oh, nice.
Okay. Okay, then what the fuck?
Yeah, but
no, but I get what you're saying too. Because if you, the food is basically the same.
And Amanda and I didn't even have Carthay on our list.
Yeah.
And Carthay kicks ass.
I would take my girlfriend to Bayou before Carthay.
I would too. That's because fair. It would you, hey, they
like,
would
I'm
be
not going to argue that there's like Blue Bayou has really good theming. And that's another very special occasion place.
Yeah.
I have not been crazy about the food at Blue Bayou. Maybe I've just had some bad luck with the chicken and it being a little dry.
You ever had the Surf and Turf? Juicy as hell. Juicy.
I have not had the Surf and Turf.
It's very good.
So I'll have to try that.
I mean, you're when in Rome, right? You're ball out it at the Blue Bayou. B-O-B-B.
But anyways, undoubtedly one of the best places you could eat. It definitely a special occasion restaurant.
Yeah.
I feel like, to be honest, the food at either of these places isn't even that memorable. Like, no one's like, I'm really craving X item menu from either of these places.
No, dude, those duck wings, I'm always
I think
about
you're
them.
Like...
That's not even the entree.
I literally think...
You might be the only person that's like,
yeah.
Oh, I'm thinking about those duck wings 24/7, bro.
Yeah.
And I don't think anyone cares about the duck wings that much.
Well, no, I can't afford that.
But I'm just thinking like...
I can't afford to even think about that.
If I were to take somebody to a fine restaurant in Disneyland, I would choose Blue Bayou because, like, I know at the heart of it the food's not going to be that memorable, but the experience is memorable. And I think that's also... That's like 50% of a restaurant in Disneyland to me is, like, the atmosphere and what you're taking in as you eat your okay food.
Oh, and I get my 9:30 fireworks. If you time it right at Carthay Circle, you get to go on the balcony after you eat. You get that great view of the fireworks.
Okay, yeah. Valid. I think that's the most
threading
helpful.
The needle. You got to thread the needle there then.
That being said, if I was taking a significant other somewhere in particular to wow them, I would do Blue Bayou.
Yeah, I mean, exactly.
No questions asked.
Sounds like it should be higher ranked than Carthay Circle.
I thought with my stomach. And I did make this list when I was hungry.
See, what's the difference between that and my clam chowder?
There's so much difference. There's Amanda, I can't even begin to tell you how different that is.
Oh, really? Fuck.
But man, Surf and Turf. I gotta try that there.
I don't think there's any more muscling. I think both of you used up your silly tickets.
Silly gooses.
Let's move to number one here. I mean, actually, this was a muscle job on two of us. Obviously, I'm one of them. Trader Sam's coming in at the number one spot here. Who did not have this on their list? I forget.
That's fucking ridiculous.
Byron. Okay, it was Byron. I thought it was you, man.
No,
Trader Sam's number one restaurant?
That's right. I mean, look, man. It's you know, Amanda, you want to go first here?
All right. Tell me about this. Tell me about this dining experience.
Okay, first of all.
Tell me about this dining experience.
No. I like the feeling of needing their attention to get a waiter because I know I never get one. It's busy.
You mean the bartender?
Both.
There's.
I know they have like the runaround waiter.
The experience is
a bar. It's a bar. It's a tiki bar.
No, but it sells food.
Well, a lot of places are like bar restaurants.
I'm not gonna say it doesn't get on this. I think it qualifies.
But it's
by
like
technicality,
so
they sell flatbreads and stuff like that, which I actually do enjoy. But number one restaurant in the Disneyland Resort. Are you fucking kidding me?
If it makes you feel better, I was considering swapping it with Goofy's Kitchen to make it number two.
I would happily put this, just for nostalgia alone, I would put Goofy's Kitchen over...
Look, it's got a sit-down portion, and they have waiters come and take your little order. So that is a restaurant. It's a bar restaurant. It exists. Do you not think TGI Fridays is a restaurant?
I do, and I don't think it should be on a list, just like I don't think Trader Sam's should be number one.
Trader Sam's is something we all look forward to going to. Especially when you turn 21, you're like, I can go to Trader Sam's.
I
want to
go drink.
I don't know.
I've had dinner there before, and it's fantastic.
No, I have, too.
The panko-crusted green beans, they're delicious little wings they have there. It's tasty. Also, you get the ambiance of a tiki, an outdoor tiki room.
And it becomes like a volcano.
Yeah, well, I don't really eat inside because you don't really have the table. Oh, no, you have the table service on those, like, on the little ones.
Like, there's not too many spots. So you
I've only really sat inside, and you see a volcano happen.
This is the only thing that we've talked about that has a dichotomy to it in terms of, like, multiple ambiances being offered. There's the indoor tiki experience, which is, I mean, I don't even need, do we need, actually, I was just about to say I don't need to go into detail, but then
if
I realized.
You're doing top five bars.
I do need to go into detail.
It's definitely my number one.
It's a dining, right?
I didn't know if we
and
were ever going to do
top. I
don't
mind it being on this list because I always, like, I do enjoy eating food there.
I thought that was an easy one.
From time to time.
I feel like we're going to catch some flack. The more Byron's talking, the more I'm like, he might be right.
But number fucking one,
wait,
are you
kidding
me?
Wait, I thought people, like, looked, like respected Trader Sam's.
Oh, we...
Respected as, like, a bar more
it's,
than...
It's the number one. If you, if we, honestly, if we were going to have a list that was, like, hybrid bar restaurant, it's number one there. And it's the number one bar, but I also think it's the number one restaurant.
I think so too.
I just convinced myself again. It's a I won't lie. My first thought was like Trader Sam's. That's a bar. But then I realized like, hey, wait a second. Do they have some of the most tasty food in the park? Yes. Do they have maybe the most memorable ambiance? Yeah. And do they have waiters? They do. Yeah. So I don't know.
And not many tourists go there, even though it's at the hotel. Weirdly, a lot of pass holders go.
You have the outdoor experience, which is, like I said, the tiki room. You have the tiki torches everywhere, a nice little glow, waiters walking around. It's a fun time. And then inside, if you're a little more crazy, you have this bar slash restaurant that offers insane special effects when you order certain drinks. The entire bar shifts along with that decision. So if you order a shipwreck, the bar starts thunderstorming and water starts squirting out. And it's just an amazing place. What that combines Imagineering and eating and drinking.
What percentage of the time do you would you say you're actually ordering food items there, Ryan?
Honestly, probably.
I gotta tell you, 20%. I never see you ordering.
It's probably
food
about 20% is what I would say.
We're usually there enjoying this great bar.
I mean, we are definitely enjoying the bar, but sometimes I get hungry and then I need some food. And look, I'm out of place. Wait, does this bar have food? This bar has food? Wow, this is a restaurant. Okay, I'm going to order.
But you're kind of right because you don't go there, like, hungry. Like, I don't go to Trader Sam's.
You treat it like a restaurant. I don't mind that.
But you just don't go to Trader Sam's because you're hungry.
This list is a travesty.
But it's like, it doesn't make sense that we did that.
You know that this is silly having this is the number one restaurant.
But we were thinking the same thing, though, so it has to be right.
I mean, I actually, if it makes it any better, before I listed this at number one, I talked to my roommate, Roland, and I said, hey, would you consider Trader Sam's a restaurant? He was like, yeah, they serve food there, and they have waiters. And I was
yes,
like,
yes, we get it. It's a restaurant, but the number one restaurant.
I mean, it's the number one attraction, bar or restaurant.
Yeah. I agree.
I think in terms of theming and food and drink, I think it's the number one.
You also would recommend that to people immediately.
Yeah, if
not to go, like, hey, like, we're, like, my family's coming into town. We're going to go to Disneyland. Like, where should we have this dinner? Or where should we have
You're going to say Trader Sam's. Because you know that's the number one thing you should see in downtown Disney, and they serve food.
You're going to have to wait in that massive line, and then you're going to have 15 minutes.
What is this massive line you speak of? I've never seen
For
that
Trader
line longer
Sam's,
than...
Oh, like weekends?
One, two people outside max. line-wise.
No,
get a table to even have your food.
Yeah. But the wait for it, though, and
look,
the heart. Like,
is
so
the
difficult.
Outdoor dining reservation a little cumbersome? Perhaps. But if you get there, it's fantastic.
Yeah. Once you're there, who cares? And you, I think it's worth the hour wait.
Yeah. I think, like, also, like I said, if I had only one thing to recommend in downtown Disney and people still wanted to eat, I would say... Even if they're like, what's the best restaurant? I would still probably say Trader Sam's.
Oh, shit. It does sound dumb.
It sounds dumb.
It does sound dumb.
I would say, and I will admit, I'd have to say Trader Sam's. It's a bar, but they have really good food there. And you could sit outside.
Look, I always try and be reasonable and, like, give credit where it's due. This is just an awful number one.
All right. Well, you know, I mean, perhaps. But I chose it with my heart, and you can't fault me for
and
that.
And I have the greatest respect for Trader Sam's.
You could have fooled me, is all I'd say. Let's move to honorable mentions here. These are items that we thought should have made the list, but they were on our personal lists and they did not make the list. Amanda, what do you have for your honorable mention here?
My honorable is Club 33.
Club 33 is your honorable mention.
Honorable mention, because I don't think the food is that great, and it's not worth like the hype. But
you actually did not tell me, Amanda, that you're Jennifer Lopez. I forgot the fact that you were Jennifer Lopez, and you could just walk in and be like, "Yes, I'm Jennifer Lopez. Please let me get into Club 33."
I was wondering if this was gonna get a mention.
I got some news for you. If you walk up there and you say, "Hi, my name is Ryan Bergara. Can I please come in and get Club 33?" They're gonna be like, "Who?" This is Club 33, Mr. Bergara.
All right. You've been, though.
Yeah, because my girlfriend won a raffle.
Oh, no way.
She won a raffle at Deloitte, which is one of the biggest accounting firms in the world. And she got lucky enough to win one raffle ticket. She was the only person in Deloitte who got to go.
I swear, I thought it was because of BuzzFeed or something.
No.
Oh, shit.
She won a fucking raffle out of thousands of people. And Club 33 is such a big deal that this big club company could only afford two raffle tickets. That's how exclusive this fucking place is.
So, okay, I can explain. I've been, not like I'm not bragging. I'm going to take every shot I can to go. So I've been at least three times, right?
Three times?
And then various times there have been like kind of major changes in terms of food or location or whatever.
Yeah.
And every single time I'm like let down by the food and it's not worth the price point and the hype. Every single time I'm like, it's cute and it's like very special to go. But I'm like, dude, you guys are so pretentious. Like it's not worth like trying that hard. And then every time I'm going to go.
Yeah. Do you realize you've been to Club 33 probably more times than President Barack Obama?
No, I doubt it. I'm pretty sure.
I bet you he's not been more than three times. I bet you it's been at least, if anything, two times.
Yeah, I don't know why. I don't know how that happened, but
that's insane.
Yeah,
that's crazy.
I swear, I thought you've gone.
I went once, and I'm not gonna lie, it was fantastic.
Yeah,
it's not. It's honestly a lot. It looks a lot like Carthay inside.
It does. It's
not as fantastic as Trader Sam's. Not even close.
Not even close. I mean, that's because anybody could. Any old bloke could stumble on down into Trader Sam's from the Lego shop, and they'll be granted entry immediately and met with open arms. You take that same walk over from the Lego shop to Club 33, they're going to have the mouse police with a knee in your back in 5 minutes.
I mean, yeah, to be fair, I've accepted that I will never.
Have you never been in, Byron?
I've never been in.
No way.
He's never been in Club 33.
Ignore him.
I'm not counting.
Ignore him.
What a plebeian.
What a dick.
This man has never been in Club 33, Amanda. Can you believe it? What's it like down there?
I don't know. I'm just that simple guy walking out of the Lego shop and going to Trader Sam's.
Oh, he spoke, and now I have to take a shower. His spit has come over and hit my knee. Anyways, this restaurant.
Ryan's that asshole in the Dream Suite balcony, looking down.
Except I'm not looking down, Amanda. I'm peeing. I'm peeing on the people down below me. And I'm going, you people don't even belong in this park with me. I urinate on your heads.
While they're just trying to watch.
Dad's like, come on, I'm just trying to watch the fireworks. What was I going to say?
Why are you making fun of him? I forgot.
Because I haven't gotten into Club 33.
Oh, you haven't gotten into Club 33.
Okay, sorry.
No, it's honestly looks like Carthay.
I wear disguises and everything. They never let me through.
We're gonna get you there.
Need one of those masks from Mission Impossible when they like strap it on and they like adapt all the mannerisms and apparently bodybuild. Those masks are nebulous in that film. Like Tom Cruise puts it on and all of a sudden
I got dibs on Amanda's seventh trip.
Yeah,
no. I'm gonna try to get you one because that's awesome.
Amanda's actually taking tables away from Barack Obama. If her and Amanda and Amanda got to Club 33 at the same time,
that'd be fun.
They're giving the table to Amanda Pham because she's been three times.
Oh, can I say one last thing? It's honorable and not on the list because they moved location, and I don't think there's a huge window they created for the new Club 33 that's off center on the building. And that will forever
that
be the most
annoying.
Disappointing piece of architecture.
It is pretty disappointing.
You remember that, right?
I do. It just occurred to me, should we share some what it actually looked like inside? Because I feel like we can't. Some people haven't seen the inside, and they probably want to know.
Yeah.
It's honestly not that great.
It's literally, yeah.
I've seen photos.
The photos look exactly like it does. It's the photos aren't impressive either, to be honest.
Yeah, and inside, I remember you're just walking down and like, it's just like a normal floor.
Yeah.
And then they just have cases of just special Club 33 merch that they're selling to you.
Yeah.
So it's just another store.
Do you know those ballrooms that they have in like the...
Titanic.
No, like in like the Disneyland Hotel.
Oh, yeah.
It's like someone went inside one of those ballrooms at the Disneyland Hotel and started hanging up memorabilia. That's what it looks like. That's the vibe of Club 33. And they added a chandelier. That being said, the food was fucking fantastic. That's what no one talks about there, is the food was like otherworldly good. Honestly, one of the best meals I've ever had in my entire life. And the cocktail, same thing. Very goddamn good. But I was going in there expecting just to soak in all the history and like, see all, I like all the animatronics, and there's like one, it's like the bird. But I was pretty let down by the decor and the just the, I guess the whole vibe of that place. It just felt like a room for rich people to go when there's no AC and they want to get away from crowds. Like a green room.
Wait, did you go to the old one or the new one?
I believe I went to the old one. It was in 2015?
So you went to the one with the cool bathrooms?
I think so, yes.
I love those. The powder rooms, super cute.
Yeah. Not so, worth the whatever membership it is for that place. Yeah. I think it's like $10,000 or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
That's outrageous.
Wait, no. Isn't this like a 12-year waiting period, too?
And then you pay $10,000.
And like annual fee.
An annual $10,000 to go sit in a green room. It doesn't make a lot of sense to me. Yes, did the Jonas Brothers probably sit in there a week ago? Sure. Not worth $10K in my book.
No.
Though if LeBron was in there, maybe. I don't know. I love that guy. We're going to Byron now for his honorable mention.
Gonna go with the Carnation Cafe.
Interesting.
Look, I am a B-side person. A lot of times I like an early morning breakfast. And this doesn't happen all the time because, like, at Rope Drop, I love hopping around and getting on those rides right away. But once in a while, or even sometimes I'll get a few rides in and like around 9 or 10 a.m.
Just to be clear before you continue here, does this mean that you attend Rope Drop and the first thing you do sometimes is go to Carnation Cafe?
Not exactly.
Okay, just making sure, because that's serial killer.
I make sure I have a reservation for a couple hours afterward.
All right, that makes sense.
In which I get to go after I get on my Rope Drop rides.
Because I was about to say.
Good time for the brunch, and I love getting that Mickey-shaped waffle on Main Street.
That makes sense.
And watching all the people enter the park.
Yeah.
And people watch, like, outside.
That's pretty good. A lot of breakfast options in your list here.
Yeah.
Dude, he's the only one that fucking goes like...
He's a breakfast guy. He just wakes up like Pooh Bear and starts rumming his stomach and just starts walking towards Funny Cents.
Oh, bother.
I was just about to say, though, could you imagine how confused Carnation Cafe employees would be if at Rope Drop, all of a sudden, there were people in the restaurant? They'd be like...
I think there are, though.
What is going on right now?
So people like are like, oh, we're here for just a day. And what we have to do at 8 a.m.
I don't think it's usually that. I think it's usually the people that are like staying at a hotel or something like that. It's like their second or third day at the park.
Oh, I see.
And they're kind of like, you know, they've maybe done some of the rides already or...
But that would suggest that there's going to be an enormous Carnation Cafe line or wait later in the day. And I just don't feel like there ever is.
Oh, no. It's usually pretty packed. You'd be surprised.
Like 5 minutes or something?
Usually the times I go around like 10 a.m., there's like a good like line of people trying to get.
I don't think I've ever seen that. I might have to call bullshit on that. I don't know.
Do you know what I think of with Carnation?
What?
The bathroom.
They do. I don't know. I've never.
The location. That's where I.
Oh yes.
Market.
Yeah. I will say that their peanut butter and jelly sandwich, soda, was one of the weirdest things I've ever put in my mouth. It tasted exactly like a peanut butter and jelly sandwich. Including the bread, which was even... That was the weirdest part about it. Like, I could wrap my head around you making a soda taste like jelly, even peanut butter, but the bread is the weirdest part.
Wait, soda? So it wasn't like a smoothie.
Tasted like the full damn sandwich. Not just the fillings, but the bread included. And I couldn't figure out how they had made it taste like bread. And it was like...
plastic.
It disturbed me in a way where I was like, hey, I got a peanut butter jelly sandwich in my mouth. Wait, no, I don't. It's soda. And it's bubbly.
Gross.
What that's happening? Exactly what you ordered.
I know, because I was like, there's no way that it can make it taste like this. And it tasted too much like it. And I was like, this is witchcraft, and I don't like it. It made me uncomfortable. That's all I have to say about the Carnation Cafe. They got a funny, funny soda there. Oh, I guess it's my turn for an honorable mention here. This is tough. What do I want to muscle on to here? Oh, this is going to hurt. You know what? I'm going to say one, but let me just really quickly mention that I really want this to be Pizza Port. And the only reason I want it to be Pizza Port, other than the fact that they have that delicious Countdown Fusilli pasta, is because Byron did one of the funniest things I've ever seen a human do at Disneyland.
Dude, we can't discuss this.
I feel like we can discuss this.
Well, did you throw up or something?
No one... Yeah, we discourage doing this.
I would not recommend you do this. And also, by
the
way...
It's the only time I've done anything like this.
In his defense, I don't think he even understood what he was doing. So.
Oh, he stole.
That's fair.
So here's what happened. We were at Pizza Port.
A law-abiding citizen.
Byron would not steal on purpose. I truly believe that.
I don't steal, and there's this one exception in my life that I look back on, but it's so fucking funny.
There's two things you need to know about Byron. One... he would not steal. He is not. He's not a thief, a klepto, if you will. I know that about Byron. Two, he also is the real-life version of Winnie the Pooh, where he could sometimes get so overwhelmed with how happy he's going to be devouring a certain food that he will literally beeline towards it, start eating it on autopilot, and not realize he has done it. So that's all you need. That's those two things. Understand both of them, and you'll understand why it's I don't think Byron actually stole here. So here's what happened. We were at Pizza Port, and mind you, completely sober. and we're going into Pizza Port, and all day, it's been one of those days, if you go to Disneyland with Byron, you know exactly what kind of day I'm talking about, where he'll slowly pepper in throughout the day suggestions to go to a certain restaurant or place for a food. Like, ooh, it would be nice if we had some Pizza Port later. And you're like in line for Star Tours or something, and it's like, yeah, that would be nice, maybe. I don't know. You're like Indiana Jones and like the boulder's coming towards you. And he goes, oh man, it's going to be so fun. We talk about this at Pizza Port. And you're like, all right, cool. Maybe we'll go to Pizza Port. And then finally he hits you around dinner time again. And it's like, hey, we should go to Pizza Port. And you're like, yeah, we should go to Pizza Port. So he's been gunning for Pizza Port all damn day. And we're standing in line. We get in. Byron beelines over to the pizza. And then I get a pizza as well. And we walk towards the register. And Pizza Port doesn't normally have long lines. I wouldn't say this is a long line. It wasn't short, though. It was probably like two people in front of us. Enough for it to be long enough, but just short enough that it's alarming. I say something to Byron along the lines of like, oh, man, I wish I would have got the Countdown Fusilli pasta, but you were talking that pizza up all day. And he goes, huh? And you could tell his eyes are kind of glazed over at this point. And I turn my head back around to look at the cashier. I turn back to say something to Byron. And one of his cheeks is a little bigger, and he's grinning at the same time, and he's chewing. And I'm thinking, oh, does he have like a big wad of gum or something in his mouth there? And then he can't speak because his mouth is completely full. And he kind of motions me with his eyes to look down, and I look down. The entire pizza, and every one of you who knows this park knows that pizza slice is fucking enormous, is gone. The whole thing is gone. The crust, the actual za itself is gone. Byron, in the maybe 3-4 seconds it took for me to look at the cash register and turn around to say something to him again, had somehow stuffed an entire slice of pizza in his mouth in like 4 seconds. And then it's my turn to pay, and they charge me up, and then and he's like, are you guys gonna do this together? And I was like, oh no, he's got his own. And it looked like Byron just had just like a soda in his hand, so he just charged him for the soda, and that was it.
Yeah, so basically, yeah, because you have that empty cardboard tray.
So what do you think they thought?
Cardboard tray, and I just rolled it up and I put it in my back pocket.
I was so embarrassed. I don't think you were stealing until you did that. Awesome.
He said he was embarrassed because he had finished a slice of pizza in the time it took to walk over from the pizza to the cash register.
Too deep at that point, and it was just such a funny moment that I was just like. am I going to freaking get away with this? I'm just going to put this in my...
That's awesome.
Okay, like...
I honestly don't think he even realized he was eating the pizza until I turned around to look at him like, what the fuck are you doing, dude? And, because at that point, he was an autopilot. He was just, like, thinking, acquire za, put in mouth. And that's all he did. Anyways, one of the great ambiances in the park, and it's next to Space Mountain. Anyway, that's not my honorable mention, but I only brought it up because
I appreciate you acknowledging Pizza Boar, because I do love pizza. Actually, it's Pizza Planet now, right?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, it's Pizza Planet. You're right. We needed to talk about it. Anyways, my actual number five, and this one is actually near and dear to my heart, is a or honorable mention rather, is a Golden Horseshoe.
Oh yeah.
This actually almost made it onto the list because it was on mine and Amanda's list.
Mm-hmm.
The food. Pretty standard fare, chicken tenders, fries. I think you have like a burger option there, maybe? I'm not really sure. I only get the chicken tenders there.
Me too.
But the
fish and chips.
The fish and chips is also the thing I get there as well. But really, the reason why this place is amazing is because of the ambiance. It's like a fun saloon, like Western kind of joint. And now they do have entertainment in there, which is like cool and adds to the ambiance. But back in the day, they used to have my favorite show in Disneyland, which was Billy Hill and the Hillbillies. One of the funniest shows I've ever seen at Disneyland, which is not, I guess, that high of a bar. But one of the funnier shows I've seen, honestly, in my life. It made me laugh so much as a kid. Those guys are at Knott's Berry Farm now, I think. But yeah, I would eat my tenders while watching Billy Hill and the Hillbillies, and it was just pure joy. And now, even today, even though that show is no longer there, I think the ambiance is enough that it makes me remember or feel the nostalgia. It's a good place.
I'm kind of bummed it didn't make it too. It's probably the best show that I've seen at Disneyland.
Billy Hill?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's great.
I don't know. Like, if I remembered any entertainment show, it's from Golden Horseshoe.
Well, like 1,000 people showed up to their last Billy Hill show. They had to like put them
cool.
You know where they did the Quasimodo show back in the day, the Hunchback? I believe that's where they had them, and it just overflowed.
Wow, cool.
It was like they were at Coachella or something. It's crazy.
I wish I was there, actually. That's
I do
awesome.
Too. I remember seeing photos and being like,
I wonder why they didn't keep them.
I don't know. There's if this was a What Actually Happened to Billy Hill and the Hillbillies podcast, I would love it.
Dude. Yeah.
Because I would love to know what happened to those guys. They were a premium entertainment, one of the few like legitimately good live performance shows in the park, and then they just let them go. Maybe, I mean, they had been there forever too. They'd been there for like 15 years, I feel like, because I saw them when I was a little kid, and I had like videos of me, and then videos of me in high school watching them. So like they've been there for a minute. I wonder what happened.
It's also a good place for my root beer float.
Oh yes, they have a delicious root beer float there. Yeah. How could I forget? They also have a sundae there that's good as well.
Mm-hmm.
It's a solid choice and heavily leaning into the ambiance is more so than the food.
Yeah.
And that does it for that. Let's move on to dishonorable mentions. This is where it's going to get a little spicy. Let's move to Amanda first.
Mine? Actually, I didn't know this was the name for like until today. It's the Lucky Fortune Cookery. Fucking Chinese restaurant.
This is the one that's on the little wharf food court.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think I've never had, this is coming from an Asian girl who like loves Panda. Like I love Panda.
Panda's
Express.
Fantastic.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, right. Like I'm cool. Now. I don't care what you're doing with the food. But they like truly are like a really bad Panda Express.
No, it's, I had it once and it was, I gotta say maybe the worst Chinese food I've ever had.
Thank you.
Yeah.
So
it's pretty bad.
I've never had it. But
I don't give it a try.
I figured that someone would have at least brought up to me at one point if it was any good, that it was good. And
it's
nobody
awful.
Ever has or shown any enthusiasm.
Well,
because
does that not sound good? Like a quick on-the-go quick service meal? Like if you knew there was a legitimately good Chinese joint inside the Disneyland Resort, you're going to eat there. You're going to hear about it.
Right.
And the fact that
most
people
think,
don't
like,
know this exists.
In that area.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's, I just
if it was
wish...
any good, you know. And I know people that like getting the tamales at the Mexican place.
Yeah.
Oh,
I don't hear it all the time, but at least I like once in a while I hear someone that likes going to that, but I never get that from the
I haven't tried the tamales. Maybe
the Chinese place.
You just could do so much with it that's like more modern, more now, that like could be Americanized still and then could be still like kind of authentic, But they just really don't give a shit about that restaurant. No, so
they're too concerned making boba. That was mediocre.
That's literally what I was just thinking.
It's bad. It's bad boba. All right, Byron. Which, by the way, different park, but the boysenberry boba at Knott's Berry Farm during their boysenberry festival was goddamn delicious.
Oh, interesting. Cool.
They're doing it right.
I can't believe you even go to that. That's great.
I go every year. Byron, what's your dishonorable mention?
Wow.
Docking Bay 7.
What?
Docking Bay 7.
Oh, I was going to put that on mine.
What the fuck is Docking Bay 7?
Exactly.
Oh, I was going to... Is it that's that? The sit down at Galaxy's Edge.
Oh, God. Yeah, that place is horrible. Oh, my God, yes. That place is terrible.
Fucking trash.
I don't know. If you're sinking that much money into making this incredible, this beautiful, you know, immersive land, that's the best you can do with a restaurant?
If they made the cantina even a restaurant, like if they had extended it and made it a sit-down portion kind of restaurant as well, they would make a killing. Also, the missed opportunity of not having a nice sit-down restaurant in a world like Star Wars is missing out on the opportunity to print money, frankly. It's a pretty silly cut that they made because of budget. But I don't get it. I don't get it.
Yeah.
This place, though, I've only had one of the items. I forget what it was. It was mushy. It's just not good.
Was it their, like, chicken, but it was like a fucking cube?
I can't remember. I none of the menu items look particularly appetizing. Yeah. The ambiance in there is actually like a cafeteria, but not in a good way. And then it smells bad.
Yeah, there's just not really anything on the menu that I could get excited about. And anytime I've eaten in there, I go and I just grab like a Ronto wrap and I bring it in.
Yeah, it's
rough. And you sit on boxes. Although I actually do like some of the ambiance in there. It's kind of a dump.
Yeah, it's not.
But at least the Imagineers do a really good at designing the dump.
I might design a dump later when it comes to this internet.
But
it
doesn't.
Gross. Gross.
Yeah, that restaurant just doesn't do it.
If I was going to go with more traditional restaurants, I'd probably say the worst restaurant is Cafe Orleans in New Orleans Square.
Really?
It's just not good food, man. It's not good food. Look, like I've said on this podcast before, I've been to New Orleans, okay? And this food is not of the same quality. And it also is the same food you could get in the French Quarter, it's the French Quarter Cafe, right? The quick service version.
Oh, that's what I'm kind of thinking about. Yeah.
The Mint Julep place?
That's where I usually getting. Yeah. But it's the same thing, I get the bread bowl.
Yeah, it's the same food, essentially. And
you skip it for sure.
It's not great. But if we're just talking restaurants as quick service, it's a no brainer for me. We're going Poultry Palace.
God.
Wait, did that count?
That doesn't count.
That doesn't count. There's a cart, basically.
It's not a cart.
It's kind of like a cart.
It's a quick service.
We can still shit on it.
It looks like a cart because it's poorly designed.
It's not a restaurant, though.
They designed it. It is a restaurant.
It's a cart.
No, where do you sit?
If Fortune Cooking Place is a restaurant, then this is a restaurant.
It's not a restaurant.
Well, it's quick service. I don't know what to tell you.
Award Wieners gives us chairs. These people.
There's a bench outside. I think that's probably the amount of thought they put into it.
Look, we should still send this PSA out that it's a horrible place.
It's the worst chicken I've ever had in my entire life.
Did you have a tummy ache? Is that why? I forgot what you said.
No, it's first off, I was thinking. The way they were talking about it, it made it seem like it was crunchy chicken. And not to say that I don't enjoy non-fried chicken, because if some rotisserie is good. But rotisserie in a theme park is bold. It's a bold move. It's much easier to put that just fried chicken out there. That being said, I discovered it was rotisserie as I walked up to it. I was like, all right, that's fine. Readjust my thinking. This chicken was... It was like eating a booger. it was the most slimy, slippery chicken.
I think it was like rotisserie, but wasn't supposed to be rotisserie.
Oh my God, gross.
Yeah, it's kind of how I would describe it.
It should have been crispy.
It's like if someone made the chicken last week and then microwaved it today, and it was kind of crunchy before it was first served. And the week is important because I can't communicate how moist this chicken is in a bad way. Like, it literally tasted like a puree. It was fucking gross. And I believe I just, I kind of just slurped it all down for like sustenance because it wasn't cheap either. Like I needed to power the rest of my Disney day. And I was like, well, I guess this is my dinner. And I just like mowed it down. I believe the first time I tried it was with Byron. We were actually excited to try it from my recollection.
Yeah, well, we had to wait in line. We had to wait in that massive line for the Incredicoaster.
Yes.
Because that was like one of like
when it first opened.
Just opened.
Yeah.
So we wanted some sustenance to get through the line.
And we thought, look at this funny little place that's shaped like a Happy Meal.
Yeah, this is like when Pixar Pier first opened, so we wanted to try out selling Pixar Pier, and that wasn't a good start.
No, I mean, Pixar Pier is not good. So
it is kind of tacky, and that is the pinnacle of the tackiness.
It is.
That eyesore of a box.
This chicken's terrible.
It also is a little too, like...
bad?
It's specific of a reference to have there.
Yeah, it really is.
Whose idea was that?
I'm not really sure. Half the... Oh, this fucking helicopter. Doesn't he know that we're recording landmark audio media right now? What was I going to say? Most people who go on Pixar Pier have a hard time remembering all the Pixar titles. Let alone a lone reference to one film. That's like insane. Like, if it's not, like, Woody out there sitting, no one's going to be like, hey, I remember that from so-and-so. It's a wild thing to base a restaurant off of. I agree with that. And it's also bad chicken. It's just the worst chicken. I can't think of... It's so bad. Like, I hope it's communicated how bad this chicken is. Not even to the point where I think, like, you should try it to confirm that it's bad. Just don't try it. Because maybe they'll take it away, is my thought. If they don't sell a single chicken breast for the next year, maybe they'll crush that thing with a fucking wrecking ball.
And you know that photo op that everyone loves so much, like out on the lake there with the Ferris wheel.
Oh yeah,
the Incredicoaster in the background. I'm sure on some of those photos now you have that ugly ass box.
Oh, yeah.
You have that Happy Meal
sharing the skyline.
Yeah. It's the corniest thing on earth.
Dude, you just ruined that spot for me.
It's not good. Pixar Pier sucks.
Actually, now if I go back into all my photos, I probably have it in the back.
It's this purple.
In fact, the next time, once Disneyland opens, I'm going to walk back to that Poultry Palace and ask them for a refund for chicken I bought 2 years ago and see if they'll give it to me.
It might not be there.
Seeing how far they've backlogged the complaints.
That'd be like interesting if they like just remove some of the overly tacky Pixar Pier.
I've never left. I actually might write something in the guest relations cards because you know how they take like the suggestions about like how was your experience. I might just write everything's great. Set the Poultry Palace on fire though because that place sucks ass. Thanks for a fun time, Ryan. Anyways, that does it for all of the dishonorable mentions. That does it for the list. That's it for this episode. Restaurants, a wild one.
Good work. I'm ready to eat again.
You guys got anything to say? You just you guys don't know this, but Amanda and Byron, what are we, 9 episodes into this season? They've really let the success of this podcast go to their heads. Now, the second I start to do the wrap-up, they refuse to speak. They just shut down like robots. It's impossible to get anything out of these two performers. Literally looked up as I was wrapping it up. Byron looked like he was actually asleep, and Amanda just was staring forward. With like,
us we were past our hour mark and then we're going, we don't get paid for this.
Amanda looked like one of those soldiers in Saving Private Ryan that were storming the beach that were in the boats and they're just like have that 1,000-yard stare.
I didn't have any life-changing closing remarks, I guess.
Anyways, follow us on @SaddestPod on Instagram and Twitter and we'll see.